just a little bit over 5 hours away from opening faceoff between the Hurricanes and the New Jersey Devils. Game one, Eastern Conference semifinal series. And joining me right now on the Adam Gold Show to kind of reminisce and talk about this rivalry as a playoff entity is the one and only, the Hall of Fame voice of the Hurricanes, Emeritus, Mr. Chuck Caton. How are you, sir? I made you an Emeritus. I hope you are, hope you're okay with that.
Oh, yeah, I am. But you never know. I will resurface somewhere like a whale. Maybe.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. That would be fun. All right. So for the last several years, it's been all about the Hurricanes and the Bruins, and I get it. Recency bias, 3 out of the last 4 years. But only one of those series, the one last year, was competitive. The other two were runaways. Hurricanes-Devils, even in the two that were really one-sided series, 01 and 06 for various reasons, there was something either spicy or wild about those series.
Right. I mean, you go back to the 01 series, you've got to remember that the Hurricanes squeaked in and made the playoffs, I think, with 88 points. Mm-hmm. And the Devils were the best team in the NHL at that time. They went on to win the Cup. So you knew this was going to be a special series, I think, the first time around, because the Hurricanes, much as they've displayed over the last 4 or 5 seasons under Rod Brind'Amour, had this never-say-die type of attitude, Adam. You might recall that New Jersey might have won that series 4-2, but the Devils were up 3-0. Mm-hmm. And then the Hurricanes made it interesting with a couple of wins. So that's how it all started back in 01.
Even in that series, that was the series that Scott Stevens checked Ron Francis right by the boards. I was sitting right there in the seats. And that was the end of Ron's season. He came back next year and was obviously great the following season. But so that series had that. And it also, I think you can trace it back to the start of the love affair between the team and the fans, because the way the fans celebrated them in Game 6, even as they were easy losers in that game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you look back at it, that was probably a turning point for the entire franchise's existence here since the move, because really after two painful years in Greensboro, even though they did make the playoffs in that second year and played, as you mentioned, the Boston Bruins in 99, it really didn't catch on until that series. I think you're right. And then it spilled over into 0-2 when the Hurricanes, of course, beat the Devils 4-2. You know, there were some great games in there because the Hurricanes, I think that year, Adam, you might remember that the Hurricanes won the first game fairly easily, and then they won an overtime game, as I recall, in Game 2 on a Bates Battaglia goal. Mm-hmm. The Devils won their 2 home games, so it goes down to Game 5, and the late Josef Wasicek was the hero in that one in overtime.
Yep, I've talked to you about that game. And the save that Kevin Weeks made in overtime on John Madden. I know that Cam Ward's save on Fernando Pisani in the Stanley Cup Finals in Game 7, where he flashed the pad out to keep Carolina in a 2-1 lead. I know how great that save was. But I still think the Weeks save was the best. It might be the best save I've ever seen, let alone the best save in Hurricanes history.
Oh, I can't disagree with you, because we all remember how athletic Kevin Weeks was as mm-hmm. a goaltender. Here was a big guy that moved around extremely well. He was very agile, acrobatic, and I could still see him spinning around and making that save, and I could still see John Madden looking up into the heavens at Meadowlands Arena there, wondering what just happened. And you're right. That was the key. And then, of course, what about the clincher? Game 6 was crazy. I mean, 1-0 win. You holding on. Yep. You know, I mean, Ronnie Francis, I think, scored in the second period, the only goal of the game, right? And then, I mean, so it was nuts. It was absolutely crazy, that game.
Yeah, the save that Weeks made in overtime on Madden, there were two saves that he made in that sequence, and then to pitch the 1-0 shutout in Game 6.
Right.
And then we get, I could not find audio of it, but the Game 2 win by Carolina over New Jersey in the 06 second round, where Scott Gomez deflects a shot, and it floats past Cam Ward for, I think it was a 2-1 lead or whatever, one goal lead with 21 seconds left. And then they win the faceoff so easily, but they bring it all the way back down into their own end. Justin Williams and Corey Stillman go get it and throw it in front to Eric Staal.
Yeah.
And with 3 seconds left, they somehow tie it.
Yeah, they somehow tie it. You're right. It was a 2-1 game that became 2-2. And then I think I heard you the other day talking I think with Victoria about Nicklas Wallin's goal.
Yes.
In overtime in that game. And there's a lot of interesting twists and turns here, because I know we haven't gotten to it yet, because 09 will be the last series that they played prior to this one, and we'll get to it probably in a minute or so. But I just want to tip my hat to the coaching staff, because you'll recall Wallin's goal was assisted by Coach Rod Brind'Amour in overtime in that game. And it completely, basically gave the Hurricanes the 2-0 lead, and they went on to win that series 4-1 in the second round on the way to the Stanley Cup, even though we all know what could have happened in the first round against Montreal, but didn't.
Sure.
When they lost their two first home games. But yeah, these Devils games, the ones coming up, I think, are going to be the best ever. Marty Brodeur or Rod Brind'Amour or Ronnie Francis or Cam Ward, with all due respect to all of them, I think this series coming up is going to be a big, is going to top it all.
We have two teams that want to play fast. There's no question about it, but I do want to ask you about the shock at the Rock. Because as good as it was, like, the Devils were great and the Hurricanes were kind of a surprise. They had the late surge, had the coaching change. Paul Maurice came in. They brought Eric Cole back from Edmonton middle of the season. And they were down 3-2. They win, via shutout here in Game 6. And then they go up there and they're down a goal with under 2 minutes left. And the rest is just crazy.
Well, there again, I can remember that very vividly, because thanks to pollen and April in the Meadowlands area, even though we were at a little bit south of there in Newark at the Prudential Center, I had throat trouble in that game. And because of my allergies, I was sounding like this during the game. And when Joni Pitkinen made that pass from the left point across to UC Okina to tie it, I think a minute 20 left, the one you're talking about, everybody figured the game, rightfully so, was going to go into overtime. And I'll never forget visiting with John McClain later, as he became Kirk Muller's assistant here a few years later, talking about it, because McClain was the coach of the Devils at that time.
Yep.
And he basically shook his head, but the best was yet to come, as you alluded to, when Eric Staal came up the ice up the right side, and with, I think, 32 seconds left, he beats Brodeur on the long side. So what do you mean we're going to go into overtime? It didn't happen, right? But if you'll recall, Adam, the Devils had one last chance to score again right at the doorstep. And I can't remember whether it was Brian Gionta or Scott Gomez. One of those two guys had a great chance in front of the net with like 2 or 3 seconds to go. So the Devils almost tied it and sent it into overtime.
That would have been poetic justice for the way that series ultimately was played. Chuck, real quick before I let you go, and thank you so much. What tips this series one way or the other, you think?
Well, good question. I think both. First of all, obviously, you can say the cliche of special teams, but I really don't. I don't know if it's going to be that much of a special teams battle. It's going to be whose forechecking system will last the longest? Because as you just mentioned, these two teams play similarly. They both have speed. They both like to get on you deep in the zone. So I think the team that handles that better is going to have an edge. And then obviously the goaltending situation, which right now you could throw your hands up and say it's questionable for both teams. Because as well as Frederik Andersen played against the Islanders in that sixth game, is Rod Brind'Amour going to have a short leash on Andersen? And I'm anticipating he's going to play tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe you know better than I do after practice. Unless you know,
I asked him twice. He wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me I asked him twice. But I think it's going to be Freddie tonight. But I think we'll see both goaltenders in the series. And I think it's a Kira Schmid for New Jersey until further notice.
Well, he has been too good. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's why I'm saying it's up in the air for both teams because Schmidt played very well. Of course, two shutouts against the Rangers is going to tell you a lot, and he seems cool, calm, and collected, and he's big. So if he continues to play that way, the Devils will be satisfied with their goaltending and not go back to Vanecek. But so I think it's going to come down to that, too. But I think the forechecking, who handles the forechecking better, because both teams are similar, how each team handles the other's speed game, I think are going to be the two keys to this series.
Chuck Caton, you are a gem. I appreciate your time, my friend. I will talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Adam. Always a pleasure. Take care.
You got it. Chuck Caton, Hall of Fame voice of the Carolina Hurricanes.